Jesus knew. If you think about anything that you have gone through, what you are going through, what you are going to go through, Jesus knew. So in the beginning of this week, many, many thousands of years ago, before Jesus was getting ready to go into the city called Jerusalem, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus knew. We celebrate, this is Palm Sunday. Jesus is getting ready to go through a week of hell. But you know what? He knew. And if you knew some of the things that you was going to go through, would you go through them? You know that statement, if I had known then. What I know. I wouldn't have. I would have did it. I would have sought somebody else's. But Jesus knew. So no matter what it is that you go through, no matter how you feel today, you don't have to go through what he went through. But know this today, he went through all of that just for you. So I want to take you on a journey this morning back to the day of the first Palm Sunday. I want you to travel with me a little while to see what really happened on Palm Sunday. We all know it's the Sunday before the Friday that he was crucified. We do know that it's the day that he did enter to Jerusalem. And Jesus and his disciples, they were walking towards the city, and the people knew that they were coming. So it took them half the morning, and they arrived early in the afternoon, amen? Now, I don't know if you ever seen a parade that just kind of picks up more steam. But let me put it this way. Maybe you saw a fight when you were younger, and there was going to be a fight after school, and it picked up more steam because everybody knew there was going to be a fight. Amen? So everybody knew that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and the crowd picked up more steam. Amen? So if somebody was in the city, they could see maybe this dust ball gaining more dust as they were walking towards the city, amen? Because Jesus and the disciples were on their way. It was a sight to behold because this was a special time. It was the Passover that was coming. And people had gathered from all over the world to celebrate their freedom from slavery in Egypt. So just imagine hundreds of thousands of people along this road waiting for Jesus and the disciples. Now, you know, like when the president comes into town or an executive or some dignitary comes, they got their men with the black suits on and the ties and the sunglasses and the little things, and they're looking, make sure you don't get near them, right? Jesus only had 12 men to protect them. So as they're going along the route, you can imagine people pulling, grabbing, moving, pushing people out of the way, maybe fight starting. You know how those crowds are. You go somewhere and people are fighting to just get a glimpse of something. So maybe some of this stuff is happening as Jesus is on the way. But on the way, the crowd ahead of him was shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna in the highest. What does Hosanna in the highest mean? It means salvation, salvation in the highest. So when Jesus entered into the holy city of Jerusalem on a donkey that day, he didn't quite look exactly like the man who was going to free these people up from the empire of the Romans. Amen? So for this short period of time, you can imagine that they were still excited. There was young people there. There were old people. There were people from all walks of life. Now, we know there was people from all walks of life because no matter what Jesus did, his ministry is to people from all walks of life. So there was probably some murderers there, some thieves, some pickpockets. Amen? All kind of people from all walks of life. They were all there to see Jesus because they heard about his teachings and the miracles that he had performed. But as he continued to grow closer to the city, people began to take off their cloaks and throw them on the ground. People were cutting leaves off of trees and putting them on the ground and waving them. And this is where we get the Palm Sunday from, amen? But as Jesus got near to the city, he stopped. He stopped. He wept. Amen? Many thought it was because of his joy in seeing so many people come out to welcome him. But later we learned it was because he knew the hearts of the people. He knew that in the next few days that all the hosannas, all blessed be the king, were changed into crucify him. Free the thief, but crucify him. You see, Jesus knew already. But what is often overlooked when we do the study of Palm Sunday, we talk about the palm and the hosannas, the coming crucifixion. But in Luke 19:41-44, there is strategic understanding for the kingdom program. And this teaches that the kingdom blessings were presented to Israel. In verse 41, it states that when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. So as Jesus is walking from the Mount of Olives to the city, his emotions were not that of joy. As he entered the city, as he entered that area, he could see the city from the mountain view. Now, from this mountain view, it was a splendid look. He could see this city looking all pretty, beautiful. You know, in times of celebration, we do things up. We make our houses look good. We try to keep the streets clean. We put up lights and all of that kind of stuff. So we are entering to the Passover season, and the city looks beautiful. And Jesus, as he's coming, he's looking at this beautiful city. But he's crying. He's looking at that city and he's not seeing the physical beauty of the city. He's seeing the ugliness of the city. He's seeing the crime. He's seeing the hatred. He's seeing all the negative things that are happening in this city before he gets in there. Amen? The scripture says he beheld the city and wept over it. So there's something that I really want you to think about. There's only two times in scripture that you hear about Jesus weeping. When Lazarus died, Jesus wept. And he wept over a personal relationship. Amen? And now we see he's getting ready to go into this city. And he wept again. And he's weeping over, not personal, but a whole city. Because everybody is personal to him. Amen? Amen? Showing compassion for this guilty city and his strong sense of evil that was about to come upon it. So now when we go to verse 42-44, and I'm going to read this, it says, if you had known this day, even you, the things that make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come when your enemies will throw a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side and they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave you in one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. So the reason for this emotional display was Jesus' sorrow for Israel. He wept for Israel like a mother would weep for a lost or a wayward child. You see, Israel's rejection of the carrying Messiah will result in terrible consequences. And they were blind to what was going to happen. Amen? But I want to go back to the scripture, because there's another two words that's in there. He says, this day. Jesus points out that there is something significant about this day. So Palm Sunday wasn't just about people praising him. It was about this day. This day, he says, this day, if you had known on this day that the things that would bring you peace, this day. He was so overcome with them not knowing that on this day, the thing that would bring them peace, that they were going to be blinded, that they would not accept him. They accepted him for what they wanted him to be. But he came to be the Messiah on that day. And if they had accepted him on that day, sometimes we have to apply Israel to us. So when he says Israel, think of yourself. There's many times we've gone through things, and if we would have done something on this day and not have been blinded by the things that are going on around us, all the fanfare, the pomp and circumstance, the people waving, the multitudes of people, the parades, we miss this day. He's crying over the people, the hundreds of thousands of people that are there on this day. They don't even have a clue as to who is coming through the city that day. That's enough to make anybody cry. We cry over one child. Amen? He's crying over thousands. Thousands that see him on that day that don't recognize him for who he is. Amen. This day is emphatic. When you read that scripture, it's not, if he had known on this day, he is emphatic on that word, this day. But why? These are the things that make peace. Peace is more than just individual salvation. You know, when you have peace, your peace through your salvation, it's not individual. Because you affect so many people, your family and your friends, your peace expounds outwardly. So when we have Christ in our life and we have that peace goes out. I remember in Bible study just this week, somebody was talking about the peace that they were experiencing. And their granddaughter turned around and said to him, oh, you're different. Because they had peace. Now, if the granddaughter wants peace like the grandma, then she could find the same peace. That's exactly what the word is talking about. The peace that we have, the peace of salvation, it is not just individual, but it goes outwardly. Amen? Jesus address Jerusalem and says, if you had known. Remember, if you had known what you know. But he says, you could have overcome all the calamity that would have happened, but instead, this is hidden from them and judgment will come. He tells them that the city is going to be surrounded by its enemies and destroyed. Amen? But not only just the city, but the people and the children will also be destroyed, that there will be no stone left intact. Why? Why is he going to let all of this happen? He said the reason is because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. We go through life, and Jesus gives us visitation, and he gives us chances, and sometimes we lose that chance. People die, and they don't have another chance. Don't lose the time of your visitation. Let me tell you about visitation. When your heart is fluttering when you hear the word, when you feel something and you're singing songs of Zion, when you feel conviction in your heart, you know that you did wrong and you can do right. You know you need to change your life. Those are times of visitation. Israel's visitation by the Messiah was proclaimed in Daniel 29 and 25's prophecy. Amen? So this let people know, even those scholars of the Old Testament, the ones that knew everything, that read the Old Testament, that knew the Bible, they knew that in Daniel 9 and 25, it said that there will be a visitation from the Messiah. But you know what happens? Those in the know don't want you to know, because they're afraid of losing their power over you. And you can take that to any situation that you are in, whether it's in your personal life, in your relationships sometimes, on the job, people you work with, they don't want you to know too much. Because to know is to have power. Jesus wants everybody to know so we all can have power. So what does this passage mean, and what does it have to do with the kingdom of God? Before, Jesus had said that the kingdom of God would not be established immediately. But now we are told here that they could have been peace. He didn't say the kingdom of God was going to happen, but that they could have peace while they were waiting for the kingdom to come. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're waiting for that payday to come, but we have so much turmoil. But you know what? If you are right and you know that it's coming, you have peace because you know it's going to come. If you got a job and you get paid every week and you got a bill that's due on Saturday, you're not aggravated. You have peace because you know your payday is going to come, right? If you're there Friday, you're going to get your check. You're going to get paid. So you have peace. He's just saying that Israel could have had peace until the kingdom of God comes. But they chose to ignore it. People took what Jesus meant for different things. Amen? In the Old Testament, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Zechariah prophesied that Jesus would bring redemption for his people. Now, Israel was his people. But me and you, we benefited because they ignored being his people. Because if you didn't accept me, I'm going to open the doors for everybody. Not just the Jews, but Jews and Gentiles. Amen? When he says salvation for his people, he means salvation also from our enemies. Salvation from the hand of all who hate us. Don't you know that you hate it? You're not very well liked. If you didn't know that, I'll let you know that now. Because you already believe in something that they don't believe in. You already serve a God that they don't believe in. You already serve an awesome, powerful, ever-living God that sees everything, that's more powerful than anything that they could ever imagine, more powerful than them, because some people are their own God. They want you to treat them like God. But they ain't your God, they ain't my God, and they ain't God. Part of the reason that we are looking for this peace is because we need physical peace. Amen? So now, what happens? Jesus said if they would have believed, they would have had peace for their belief. I'm here to tell you this morning, you can have peace for your belief. But he said because of their unbelief, there will be no peace. Because you don't believe, you don't have peace. You don't believe what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, as long as you don't believe, you're not going to have peace. You're not going to be happy. No matter what you do, you're not going to have peace. Amen? To put it another way, peace, believing, brings security. It brings prosperity. Unbelief brings catastrophe. Hallelujah. So in Luke, he suggests that when Jesus came, it was a presentation of blessings. He came to bless. No matter what you go through, when Jesus comes into your life, he comes to bless. There's no way that Jesus come to raise hell. He don't come for destruction. He don't come to upset your apple cart. He comes to give you blessings. And you don't get it because you got the unbelief. Your faith is your belief. You got little faith, you got little belief. You got big faith, you got big belief. Hallelujah. When I said that, I had to look at Sister Irvin because I know what Larry was going through. But she had big faith. She had big belief. Some of us think that things can't be done. Oh, it can happen for her, but it can't happen for me. Oh, yes, it can. Change the level of your faith. Change the level of your belief, and things are going to change. Jesus is no different. We're just like Jesus. If people don't believe you, you don't do nothing for them. If you walked up to somebody and said, I'm going to give you a $100 bill, and they said, yeah, right. Are you just going to give it to them? I can't make it no plainer than that. But one thing I want you to know today, it's just because the Israelites in Jerusalem, they didn't believe, it didn't mean that Jesus just cut them off. Hallelujah. We go through situations today, we don't believe, but he don't cut us off. He gives us another opportunity. Hallelujah. He gives us another visit. There's more visitations for us. Being here today is a visitation. We have another opportunity today. Jesus is visiting today. He didn't just cut you off. He woke you up this morning. He started you on your way. He gave you life and breath. He put clothes on you. He made a roof over your head. He gave you transportation to get here. There is a visitation today. Don't make him weep today because you're not believing in his visitation. Don't make him weep today over you because you don't believe. Don't make him weep today because you had a chance and then there's no more chances. Jesus knew. And not only did he knew, he knows. He knows what it is that you're going through today on this Sunday. Hallelujah. On this Palm Sunday, he knows what it is that you're going through. Don't deny him because of your unbelief. Hallelujah. Because he believed that he knew that he was the Son of God. He knew it. No matter what he went through, no matter what they said to him, no matter how they treated him. Let me tell you, on Monday, Jesus knew. He knew that he would go into the temple and he was going to find his father's house being desecrated. desecrated by those selling cattle and sheep and selling all kind of things, changing money in the temple. He already knew that. He knew that on Tuesday that the priests and the elders were going to try to get him to say something that they could kill him for. He knew that on Wednesday that that would be his last day of freedom. Hallelujah. He knew that on Thursday he was going to be betrayed by somebody named Judas Iscariot. He knew that on Friday that he was going to be crucified and hung on a cross. And he knew on Sunday morning that he would rise again because he is the Son of God. I want you to realize some things that he knew, that he knew that you should know, because you're going to go through it. He knew that they would curse at him and they would spit at him. He knew that. He knew that they would use hateful words against him. He knew that. He knew that right before he rose, that the ground would tremble, that the curtain would split in two, and the Holy Ghost would come on through. He knew that. And because he knew that, he wept on that Palm Sunday before he went into town. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? When we come to church, before we come in the door, maybe we should weep a little bit. Maybe we should weep a little bit because we know that there's somebody that's going to come in here that needs to be touched by God. We should know that there's somebody in here going through something and we should be praying for them. We should know that the enemy goes back and forth seeing who he can devour. We should know that. It should make our hearts a little weak. It should make us a little sorrowful for those people that are going through that. We should know that because the enemy, that's his job. That's his mission. That's his assignment. Our assignment is to know these things. Our assignment is to find the people that are going through those things. Our assignment is to speak to them. Our assignment is to pray for them. Our assignment is to let them know that no matter what it is that they're going through, that there is a God. There is a God. Hallelujah. And my favorite thing is that he can do it abundantly. Exceedingly and abundantly, above all things that we could ever ask, even things that we could ever think. Oh, I love it. Sometimes we think to ourselves, we say, man, you're really thinking some really great thoughts here. But no matter how great your thoughts are, his is greater. No matter what the plan for your life is, his plan is greater. If we just believe. If we just believe, if we just see him for who he is and what he is and what he came here for. But we're turning too many things around. You want to come here and say, I bless the Lord, owe my soul so I can have more money. If you need it, he'll give it to you. Say, bless the Lord, owe my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trying to think of what I saw. I got Bibles and things for my mother and my father, and they got little things in there, little things that were written. And I found something this morning while I was doing my studies, and it was just a little piece of paper, and it says, all things that are not eternal are waste. All things that are not eternal are waste. Your clothes, they're eternal. Your money, it's eternal. Your car, even your relationships, they're eternal. They're not eternal. They're temporary. Let me change that. They're not eternal. They're going to go away. They're going to fade away. They're going to waste. This body, as I still continue to battle a cold, it's temporary. It's going to waste away. But you know what is eternal? The Word of God. And the promises that he made. So the woman. So he ain't human. He is a deity. Above human species. Hallelujah. And the only human species that came here that didn't lie was the Son of Jesus Christ. His son. That's the only one that I know of. Hallelujah. Because if you lied as a little baby, you lied. Amen. So mama said, did you do it? You said, no, you lied because you did it. But Jesus Christ was the only person, perfect, human. And that's not what he requires of us. He only requires that we receive him for who he is. Can you do that? Can you just receive him for who he is? Can you just trust him for who he is? This Palm Sunday, this day, we're back to this day. This day, on this day, let us stand.